speech led him. T'was wondrous love which led him for us to suffer loss, to bear without a murmur the anguish of the cross. With sins redeeming glory, let us our voices raise till heaven and earth re-echo with our Redeemer's praise. Sweet as years go by, sweet. Reach a fuller, deeper, Jesus loves us sweeter, sweeter as the years go by.
So every word is okay. But maybe, you know, that's kind of too slow, isn't it? Yeah, maybe little bit, you know. Okay, just do it one more time. Yeah, verses. The piano.
Oh well, yeah.
Oh, Jesus loved and sought me when I was lost in sin. Grace it brought me back to his fold again. Of highs and depths of mercy,
two.
Far deeper than the sea, and higher than the heavens, my them shall ever be. Sweeter as years go by, sweeter as years by. Reach a fuller, deeper, Jesus' love is sweeter. Wondrous love which led him for us to suffer loss, to bear without a murmur the anguish of the cross. With sins redeeming glory, let us our voices raise till heaven and earth re-echo with our Redeemer's praise. Sweeter as years go by, sweeter as years go by. Reach a fuller, deeper, Jesus' love is sweet.
One more minute. Tell me your name again. Marianne. So when were you coming to this church before? Oh, really? Was the Pastor Ron there? It was, oh, okay. Sharon. Okay, okay, yeah. She's now retired. Yes. She's old. But Marianne, welcome back. I'm excited to have you. You live in Yucaipa, right? Yes, excellent. 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 So, are you staying for the fellowship or anything after worship? Okay. Well, no. The reason I'm asking is I would like to give you a sort of a welcome basket that I give to everybody. maybe after worship. Anyway, praise God for the rain, and it's about time for us to prepare our hearts to worship the Lord with some songs. And the first one that I'd like us to learn, I think, Gary, you may be familiar with the song that we are going to sing today. You're an old, old.
Are you watching a lot?
Yes. Are you familiar with it? Yes.
But I've not seen the song.
I thought this song is a sort of an old camp revival song, but not all of you would know this. But
it's an old song.
You know that song?
Yes.
Fantastic. So let's sing it. And that's going to be our closing hymn.
Just for the cleansing pump, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting His grace, His Son? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Virginia, do you know the song? I'm asking Virginia. Do you know the song, Virginia? Are you washed?
I don't think so.
Really? Yeah, Methodists should learn this song. This is a must. All right. Any other hymns?
Okay, we've got request, Lorena.
3, 3, 4.
Twice through.
Sweet spirit in this place, expressions on his face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly. God will know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. So one more. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that is the spirit of the on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly love, I us with your love, and for these blessings we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
Pastor, I think we have time for one more. Maybe two more, Deb.
170.
Okay.
So here, Ron said 723.
Yeah.
So we'll sing that one first, and then one the Deb ones afterwards. 723. Shall we gather at the river?
Shall we gather at the river? Bright and your feet have trod. Be this crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather we the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the margin of the river, on poppy silver spray, we will walk and wash ever all the happy golden day. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather we the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
What was the song, Deb?
170.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing his worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus, so how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. He tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. He tells me of his precious blood, a sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
Thank you, Colleen. That was beautiful. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you, those of you that are here today and those of you that are joining us online, to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. What I'd ask you to do is please find those red pew pads and make sure that you sign in so that we can note your attendance here on this slightly damp Sunday morning. So bless all of you that ventured out. I think there are people that are a little concerned about being out in the weather, and we've got a little bit of a reprieve hopefully this morning. So stay safe the rest of the day and through this storm. We have some announcements this morning, and August is our month for heat and sun, as it says, swimming and vacations and lots of summer fun. But I think today we're all saying, gosh, it's kind of nice to have some weather as long as we can all stay afloat as we venture through the rest of this weekend. So those are all the folks that have a birthday. And yes, I had mine. Okay, another trip around the world, or around the sun, starts this month. So hope everyone does well, and congratulations to those of you that are sharing birthdays with me. And I see Judy's here. So, okay. The Narthex is available online, but it's also available in printed form out in the newsletter in the Narthex. So please feel free to pick one up as you leave today. We are the cereal church, so anytime you want to bring food of any sort, you can leave that here, and it gets delivered to the Interfaith Ministries Council for distribution in the neighborhood. And I will also put in my own personal plea, anytime you would like to donate at Family Assistance over on Avenue B, we appreciate any and all donations. Hearts Grow, second and fourth Sunday. This is the third Sunday, so I think this will be something that children can look forward to for next week. Before the sermon, there's fellowship time and end of fellowship. Parents are welcome to come and join their children. The Chosen is continuing to be watched and shared among those, and that begins at 11 o'clock with great food. So there is a sign up for The Chosen. They need 3 people a week to bring food. So if you are so moved when you go over for fellowship, please make sure that you check that out. It's located on the script table. Okay, if you will please stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters.
And you who have no money, come buy and eat.
Seek the Lord while he may be found.
Call on him while he is near.
And our first hymn today is number 156, The Love, I Love to Tell the Story.
Story
his love. I love to tell the story, it's pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Now is the time for passing of the peace, so.
Good to see you all here, and good to see you, Mary and Dan. Hello, Helen. Is it raining up there, Helen? No? Good for you. Good to see you. Hello, June and Joyce. So good to see you. Good to see you, Lois. And who do we have? Is it Jen? Jen and Lorena, I think. Oh my goodness. You guys, we miss you guys so much. Look at the beautiful flower there. Jen texted me saying that, you know, they miss us very much as well. Good to see Alicia. And who else do we have? And we have one on the phone. Welcome, welcome.
June and Joyce.
June and Joyce, yes, of course. Absolutely. I think Joyce has a prayer request. Just give us a little bit of time. We'll get that to you. We'll get to you.
And now is the time to share our joys and concerns. I'm going to start off with asking for a request for the Ochoa family, a longtime friend, lost her brother, and huge extended family. And I'd ask for prayers for Susan Urea. Several times over the last year, and she is not doing well. This is someone who'd been in the hospital with COVID for months on end, and she's still battling recovery at this point. So if you could keep Susan Urea and the Ochoa family in your prayers, I'd appreciate it.
Good morning. It's good to be back, and I'm really grateful for having a wonderful vacation and for all the people that filled in and helped while I was gone. I got a text from my sister this morning that my brother-in-law, who has cancer and Parkinson's, apparently passed out going to the bathroom last night and did a face plant, and he's got broke, fractured nose and problems on all the bones up here on his teeth, and so they're working on him, but I would ask for prayers for a good recovery for him and that he can heal well from this, because he's got enough difficulty. His name is Jeff Ludwig. But I had a really wonderful vacation, and I'm so glad.
Yes, I want to ask for special prayer from an older lady from the Seventh-day Adventist Church here in Yucaipa. Her name is Kathy Crouch, who has really had some serious medical problems and really, really needs some prayer.
Lorene, while you're on the microphone, so a lot of people have brought clothes, and how long will you be able to collect them?
I am collect I'll be collecting everything today and this week, taking it over to the lodge and the scouts, and whatever they cannot use, I heard Deb say she could use stuff, that all this stuff will be utilized properly. They do have a container that's supposedly going to Maui, but whatever they can't take, we will make sure that it gets used here in the community.
Wonderful.
I know a couple that escaped from Ukraine a while back, and they go to our church, and he has terrible epilepsy, and it's so bad that they're considering surgery. His name is Sergey, and I would ask for prayer for him, because tomorrow he meets with a surgeon, and they want to make the right decision. Pray for healing.
Right. Marianne, would you mind introducing yourself to us? If you don't mind, introduce yourself to us, because I think many of you us do not know you.
Marianne Ruffner. I live here at New Kaipa.
Hi, Marianne.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
I'd like to keep prayers in our hearts for my brother, Randy. He's still suffering with his heart issue, and he's in Florida. His wife is in Maine doing family stuff, but he had a heart attack this summer, as I had told you earlier, but now he has some severe lung issues going with it. And being who he is, he doesn't want to stop doing whatever he always did, and that's causing more problems for him. But at this time, just keep him in your prayers. Thank you very much. And one more thing is, I give God the praise for my life, and it's been almost a year since I had an operation that helped me bring back my vitality in my life, and I just feel so different, and I'm so praised for this church and being in this home. Thank you.
Very good. Praise God for that healing. Great.
I could use a little prayer for my arm. I made the mistake of trying to help move a refrigerator that weighed more than we thought it did.
Brian, I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but you are a little bit older than you think. You may be probably in your 40s still.
Hello, my name is Pat Shores. I have a couple of joys. One, this past week, Allison, my sister who lives in town, she calls and says, Pat, we're going to go see the babies. You want to go? And oh, yeah. So we got to go down and see the babies, which is always a real pleasure. But I've also been in contact with my best friend who I've known since second grade. She lives in Virginia now, so I see her very rarely, but she's coming to Yucaipa. She's one of three sisters, and her older sister died very recently, and they're having a memorial for her this coming week, and so she's coming for that, and of course I'll get to go to that and get to see her. And so I'm grateful that she's coming and that she's fine, and I'm grateful that the babies are fine, and I just think we need to praise God for the rain. Yes.
And I think Bill and April are traveling to Colorado because Bill's sister passed suddenly last Saturday night, and we want to continue to pray for the family and God's traveling mercies upon them.
Hi, I'm Judy, and I'm asking for prayers for my brother who's still in the hospital. He has some kind of infection in his knee from falling. It was just a trauma to the knee, but he falls all the time. And he is still there. He's going to be there for a few more days, and then he'll be moved to a care facility. They still don't know what kind of infection. That's a possibility of MRSA or a staph infection. And it's caused a whole lot of other peripheral problems. So he's a mess, but prayers for him, please. Thanks.
So Susan, have you talked to that old church member who lives in Maui?
I haven't spoken with Sheila, but I have seen her via Facebook, and she's doing well, and she's reaching out to her community and helping however she can. So
very nice.
Yes, it's a good thing.
Glad to hear that. And continue to pray for those fire victims in Maui and all those who are helping them.
And just add to that, Joe Pitzenberger, Jerry's youngest son, Jerry and Ron's youngest son, they moved to Maui last spring. And they're fine. They're perfectly fine. Oh. But Joey has had to go to his place of work so that he's able to support folks. I think he works in the hotel industry, and so they've been able to reach out to the community. But Carrie and Kale are fine, and their daughter Jordan is, I believe, in college. I don't know that she was on the island, so I think she's, but they are fine.
Great. Great to hear that.
Joyce, go ahead.
Yes. I was visited this week by Pastor David Choi. And he told me he knows you. He even showed me a picture of you, Pastor. And he sends greetings to you.
Am I become famous?
Well, at least one guy knows you.
If you heard anything bad about me, just forget about it, okay? Just good things.
He's a pastor at St. Matthew's United Methodist.
Well, thank you. I'll be very careful. I won't ride shopping carts anymore, so I'm all set, right?
At Costco. Okay, any other? All right. Okay, if you would please join me in the unison prayer. It's David's prayer of repentance. Have mercy on me, O Lord Jesus, according to your great compassion. I know my transgressions against you I have sinned. Cleanse me of all my sins, that I may be whiter than snow. Create in me a pure heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit. Accept my sacrifices of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. In your precious name. Amen.
God has given us a lot of folks in our life circle, and we know who they are. We know what they are experiencing today. And let us continue to give them our love, our support through our prayers, and lift up those who are in need in prayer, especially those fire victims in Maui. Let us continue our prayers in silence. Lord Jesus Christ, you know our heart. You know our need. You know our life circumstances, inside and out. You know us all together. So as we stand before you, Lord, this morning, we can come to you as we are, because you will accept us and grant us your grace and your peace. In this troubled world, O Lord, we sometimes struggle to see you, struggle to find resources to continue on. We are often blindsided by all the problems occurring in this world. But, O Lord, it is the faith in you that has sustained us, that has strengthened us, that has guided us, and given us the discernment to make right decisions. And by faith, O Lord, we have come this far, and we know by faith we'll continue on. So as we gather together to worship you this morning, we ask you to empower us and strengthen us with your Holy Spirit, that we may receive the spiritual strength that we need, that we may be restored, that we may be healed, that we may be touched by your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we are here to receive the grace that you have prepared for us. We are here to listen to your message that you all want us to hear. So, Lord, we come together as one community of faith, worshiping you as our creator, as our sustainer, and as our savior. Manifest your power and your presence among us as our hearts are open unto you to receive the blessing that you have prepared for us. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge our weakness, our frailty, but with you, with your presence, we can continue on. So, Lord, speak to us once more that our spirit may be nurtured, that we may find wisdom to discern where we are, what your will is, and where you want us to go. Even though during the times, O Lord, we struggle to find your will, but we believe that you have the plan for us, the plan that is most perfect and wonderful. So we yield to you. We yield to your power, and we yield to your plan for us, and pray that you continue to fulfill your will upon our lives, upon the life of our loved ones, upon this church, this community, and the world today. So now we join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now it's time for Deb and the Young at Hearts.
Today's story is called Night Owl, written and illustrated by Christopher Denise. Since the day he hatched, Owl had one wish: to be a knight. Every morning before he drifted off to sleep, he imagined himself as a real knight. He would be brave, he would be clever, and he would have many friends. It was just a dream. Until one day, knights began disappearing from the castle. So Owl applied to night school, and to everyone's surprise, he was accepted. Owl was an excellent student, but he had a tough time with a sword. Even the smallest shield was a problem, and he had a habit of nodding off during the day. Night school was hard, but Owl worked and worked. He graduated with honor, as all knights do. Owl was assigned to the night watch. He was very good at his job. The other knights usually fell asleep during the long night watch, but Owl didn't mind. All alone on the castle wall, he finally felt like a real knight. until late one evening when it was very dark and very, very quiet, when Owl heard a strange sound. Whoosh! It sounded like a huge bird flapping its wings. Hoo! Owl called. He heard the sound again. Whoosh! 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 Hoo! Hoo! He called. Whoosh! Hoo! 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 Owl called. Who, me? Said a deep voice. Who, you? Asked Owl. I am a hungry dragon, said the dragon. Owl was very afraid, but because he was now a real knight and knights are brave, he puffed out his feathers and said, I am Owl, and I am a knight of the night watch. You don't look like a knight, said the dragon. You look like a midnight snack. Owl's feathers trembled, but because he was a real knight and knights are clever, he said, You don't want me. I am too small, hardly even a mouthful. A mouthful is enough, snarled the dragon. I am all feathers and fluff, said Owl. A great dragon like you needs something tastier and more filling. How about a pizza instead? It turned out that the dragon loved pizza. They talked about how each of them had hatched from eggs, and how much they liked the night, and how flying was hard to explain to someone who had never done it before. They really had a lot in common. The following week, not a single night disappeared, or the week after that, and every night Owl patrolled the walls. It was very dark and very, very quiet, but Owl didn't mind, because he was brave. He was clever, and he had many friends. The end. The Bible tells us over and over again, do not fear. From personal experience, most of the things I've been afraid of never turned out as badly as I had expected. So may we trust God with our lives, with our faith, with our hearts, and learn to love like he does. Amen.
Thank you, Deb. And now if you would join us in our next hymn, number 357, verses 1 through 3, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14, the parable of the wedding banquet. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went in, out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all here in this beautiful sanctuary. So good to see you all on Zoom. And I pray that we will all experience the presence of God in personal ways and be able to feel him and be able to hear him and find out what his will is for us individually and for our churches. A pastor in a local Methodist church came across a man who had previously attended Sunday school in his childhood but had stopped practicing the faith for decades. The pastor's long effort to reintroduce the faith to him paid off, and the man began to show an interest in restoring his faith. The pastor then invited him to his church, hoping to continue his spiritual guidance and nurture for the once lost soul. But he never came. "Why don't you come?" the pastor encouraged. And the man finally admitted it was because he didn't have proper clothes. Moved by the pastor's testimony about a potentially new member during worship, a dedicated member of the Methodist Church took him on a shopping spree and got him a whole new set of nice Sunday attire. The pastor prepared the entire worship to welcome him on the following Sunday, but he still did not show up. So the pastor visited him again and asked why he didn't come. "When I got dressed up in my new suit," the man explained, "I looked so good, I decided to go to the Baptist church down the street." You remember the good old days? People put on the best dress on Sunday morning, dressing up nicely to go to church shows respect and humility to worship God. Naturally, people dress up on many other important occasions. An improvement in appearance reflects the unseen attitude toward others and expresses courtesy. The social and cultural practice of wearing appropriate attire is common in every culture and age. The Bible gives a lot of descriptions of cultural system built around attires. So we're going to learn a little bit about that attires found in the scripture. John the Baptist wore clothes made of camel's hair and a leather belt. How John dressed hint at his lifestyle of nonconformity and reform, which went along with his message of repentance. After the Last Supper, Jesus took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist and washed his disciples' feet. The outer clothing here indicates that Jewish men customarily wore a tunic and an outside cloak. The body language of Jesus taking off his outer cloak spoke 1,000 words about Jesus' humility to voluntarily lower his rank as a servant and his readiness to serve. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he gave specific directions about how to dress up. He said they shouldn't take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals and not put on 2 tunics. Except no money, the rest of the directions were related to how to properly dress up as disciples. These dispatch directions had to do with frugality and soul dependency on God as his followers. The sandals during the time had straps, apparently. When John the Baptist spoke of Jesus, he said, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie." Here, sandals were used to explain humility and unworthiness. The dress showed one's social and economic rank as well. After the prodigal son returned home, his father said, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet." Scribes used to wear long robe, not just to show their religious rank, but also to get public recognition. Jesus saw hypocrisy in how the religious leaders dress up and denounce them. On other occasions, Jesus criticized the scribes and the Pharisees and pointed out that they did all their deeds to be seen by men. Concrete evidence of their motive was in wearing religious apparel. And Jesus took actual examples of it and pointed out they made their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. You know what the phylacteries is called? The tefillin, you might have seen it. You know, the Jewish men wear it, you know, on their head and tie this little, you know, black box around their arm, right? And they make that little box broader. I mean, you know, the human face has a certain size and you cannot make it too big because it's going to cover the whole, you know, face. But they make it broader so that it become bigger, and they made the tapestries longer. Why is that? You know, the tassels longer. Because that way people can notice them easily. The colors and material of the robe signifies people's social rank during those days. In the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus gave a description of the rich man clothed in purple and fine linen. Pilate sent Jesus to Herod for questioning, and Herod and his soldiers treated Jesus with contempt and mocked him and dressed him in an elegant robe before they sent Jesus back to Pilate. In the court of Pilate, the Romans put a purple robe on Jesus and mocked him as King of the Jews. Purple clothes meant royalty then. People during the time wore head coverings, which would have been a turban or a cap. And as we know, that there was a dispute about wearing them in the Corinthian church. And this can all be summarized in Jesus' word. You know what Jesus said? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers in the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. He simply just pointed out that wearing what to wear was a major concern for people. Clothes played an important social and cultural role during Jesus' time. So, having looked at the background of clothes, now look at the parable of the wedding feast from that context. It is comprehensible that wearing wedding clothes was a cultural norm, and every wedding guest was expected to wear fitting attire to attend wedding. It was why the king became so upset with one guest who did not wear wedding clothes. Moreover, it was the wedding custom that the host of the wedding feast provided simple, plain, supposedly the same color, wedding clothes to all his guests. And you know, everybody wore the same wedding clothes, which means the host treated every one of his guests equally, right? It also was why the king could spot one man who did not wear the wedding guests so easily, because he was the only one who wore differently. The king asked the guest, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" The Greek word without the wedding garment, without is me. You know, that means refusal or rebellion. Rephrasing the story with the practices of the wedding goes like this. The king became very upset about the guest who did not wear the wedding clothes. He said to the guest, "It is common sense that everyone, including you, is expected to wear wedding clothes to come to my son's wedding. Plus, I provided one for you to wear. It is clear to me that you deliberately refuse to wear it. I cannot tolerate your very disrespectful behavior, and you cannot stay here any longer." And the guest clearly understood his mistake and why the host became so angry at him and could not make any excuses for his insult to the host. And the gospel says simply, he was speechless. In this parable of the wedding feast, the king represents God, and the son is Jesus. The wedding feast is the celebration of salvation. The wedding clothes is the condition of salvation. You know, many are confused about the condition of salvation, but there's a one simple condition of salvation. God, our King, killed the oxen, fattened calves, and even his one and only Son as a sacrifice to forgive sins. God prepared everything for the feast and tried so hard for so long to invite people to the feast of his Son, but people ignored, refused, and even became combatant. But God did not give up and has opened his invitation to everyone, both good and bad. All they have to do is to accept his invitation and wear the wedding clothes to attend the wedding feast. What does it mean to accept the invitation and wear the wedding clothes? The book of Revelation in chapter 7 describes that a great multitude in heaven, which no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and tongues, stand before the throne of the Lamb, clothed in white robes. They are the ones who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Blood and the righteousness of Jesus forgives our sins and covers our shame. In Running on Empty, Bill Briscoe writes the following story. A woman I met at a conference told me how she was sexually abused as a small child by her father. She grew up, overcame the emotional damage that had been done, and eventually married a missionary. Years later, after her children were fully grown, she received a letter from her father telling her that he had become a Christian and had asked God for forgiveness and received it. He had, moreover, realized he had sinned dreadfully against her and was writing to ask for her pardon. Feelings she did not know were there suddenly surfaced. It wasn't fair. He should pay for what he had done, she thought bitterly. It was all too easy. And now he was going to be part of the family. She was sure her home church was busy killing the fattened calf for him and that she would be invited to the party. She was angry and resentful. Then she had a dream. She saw her father standing on an empty stage. Above him appeared the hands of God holding a white robe of righteousness. She recognized it at once, for she was wearing one just like it. As the robe began to descend toward her father, she woke up, crying out, "No, it's not fair. What about me?" The only way she could finally rejoice, as a heavenly father pleaded with her to do, was to realize that her earthly father was now wearing the same robe that she was. They were the same in God's sight. It had cost his son's life to provide both those robes. As she began to see her father clothed with the garment of grace, she was able to begin to rejoice. Jesus, in his own words, stated the ultimate and the only condition to enter the wedding feast is the wedding clothes. Everyone is the tailor or seamstress in his own right. People spend their entire life to adorn themselves with beautiful garments, of many kinds of achievement. As the guest did, many believe what they have accomplished can take them to the wedding feast. No matter how beautiful their worldly attire may look, the only condition to attend the wedding in God's kingdom is the white wedding clothes that our God, through Jesus, gives. The wedding guest might have thought that his clothes were more beautiful than the plain wedding clothes that the host prepared. He might have regarded his righteousness as good enough to save him, but it took him to the dreaded place instead. The parable teaches us not to rely on our righteousness, but on God's righteousness, which can only save us. We will all stand alone before God at the end of our earthly journey. At that very moment, nothing will matter except that we are washed by the blood of the Lamb and wears the righteousness of God. Amen.
Now is the time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. There is a plate at the back of the narthex where you can drop off your tithe, or you can make sure that it gets to the church office. Thank you.
Jesus loved and sought me when I was lost in sin. Oh, wondrous grace that brought me back to his fold again. Oh, heights and depths of mercy, far deeper than the sea. As years go by, sweet as years go by, reach a full of deeper tears of love's sweeter as
all creatures. Source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are worthy to be worshipped. You deserve all the praises and thanksgiving from our lips, from our hearts, and from our lives. So, Lord, as we recognize that you are the source of all the blessings and you have filled our lives with your presence and your blessings, we bless you and ask you to receive this offering of our recommitment to you and to your ministry, that it may be used to build your kingdom through the mission and ministries of your church. So receive it, O Lord, bless it and bless us, that we may continue to be the source of blessing to you and to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
And if you would please join in our final hymn, it's the insert. Are You Washed in Blood, number 378, 1-3.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom comes, will your coat be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright? And be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Let us pray. Lord, we all want to go into that wedding feast that you have prepared for us. Help us be ready for that wonderful feast. Wash us anew by your blood, that our sins may be washed away, that we may become whiter than the snow, that we may live this life as your chosen, spotless in your eyesight. So we ask your mercy and your grace upon each and every one of us, that our heart may be open to receive the forgiveness of our sins from your throne. May we always be mindful of this very message of salvation, that whenever the time will be, O Lord, we do not know, but may we be ready to enter into that wedding feast. So send us forth with your blessings and in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
And